Welcome back to the Modern Old School Training Podcast. I'm Aaron King with Coach Bob King. And today's topic, we are talking about what program should you use, or how do you choose a program that's right for your situation, your goals, and kind of just the combination of those things. What are your, resources and all the above?
Picking a program is very important and very tricky today because obviously there are so many out there. Everybody's got is willing to help guide you and give you programs to do. They don't fit everybody. They're not one size fits all at all. And so we have to start with a few basic questions. How old are you? Maybe your gender, but not necessarily, and your sport and the time of year. So there's a whole list of things that we do in athletic development, athletic sports training that matter in your program choice. That also comes into, people like to call it, specificity of training, sports specific, that kind of thing. What I want to mention is sports specific so often is about what you don't do. And so a lot of times it's like, should I do this? Should I do that? Well, let's give an example. The rotator cuff, everybody needs to do it. It's just a weak link in a chain. Power cleans, not everybody should do it. It's very coaching intensive, very technical, very beneficial, very useful. But I don't have golfers and most tennis players doing power cleans, for example, because I don't know how that type of stressor is going to be beneficial to them when they've got so many other things they need to do.
That was always some problem that we had back in when I was playing, because I was a long snapper, so it's similar to like a pitcher in baseball, where the cleans just blow your elbows up.
Yeah, they're high stress. They're a great exercise. Don't miss it. I don't want people to go, well, he's anti-Olympics. Not at all. I've done them myself for decades. I have my athletes still do them currently, but it depends on who you are and what your goals are. And as you said, it's kind of my Bob science is that you are stressing yourself significantly with certain exercises. And so you're putting a lot of stress on joints, tendons, muscles themselves. How much stress does your sport put on that same joint? Well, we're just piling it on.
Yeah, stress is cumulative for sure. So if I say, hey, I think that Olympic lifts are the best thing. I don't want to focus on Olympic lifts too much, but this may be a good little rabbit hole to go down. If you're thinking about program design and which program to choose, the pros and cons of the Olympics of saying, hey, they might be one of the best, if not the best exercise for certain types of explosive, movements or speed. But is the juice worth the squeeze as far as, but your elbows are going to kind of what dictate.
Well, you say elbows things. And we can just keep going. The shoulders are really loaded up at the same time. And, we do some things that we call precursors or, kind of a mini movement. So it's not really part of our Olympic progression, but we do a pull press combo with a bar. Get some kids and just do a pull press combo. And what that does is it allows us to do two things, multi-joint, multi-movement exercise. But at the same time, we can kind of look and see, we start putting weight on the bar. They just have their limb length or their coordination maybe sometime down the line, but not right at the moment. It kind of gives us a peek at what they may or may not be able to do from an Olympic standpoint.
And how does this break down by age?
Well, there are those that will go back and say, look, a PVC pipe and a 12-year-old, they go together. Okay, I don't disagree. It's coaching intensive as well, because you can be really sloppy with air. And that's about what a PVC pipe is, right? And so if you are not careful, light is not necessarily right, because you have to go real slow, and there's not a slowness to Olympic movement. Slow will get you hurt and miss the lift. So the right age is probably, in my opinion, closer to try to teach them in their, post-puberty a little bit, 13 to 15 in there, depending on the kid, because you can put some weight on the bar, because they are growing more rapidly and developing more physically, and because they have an ability to adapt quicker, I believe.
Okay, yeah, so that doesn't just mean go into Olympics, but when we think about everything else that goes into choosing the right program, if I'm coming in saying that I have a son that's playing middle school football, I have a daughter that's playing, she's JV soccer or something, and then hey, I'm I used to play myself, and I'm looking to kind of be a weekend warrior.
That guy. Yeah.
What are all these different, what's that entry questionnaire that's going through each thing?
Well, let's start at the end and work back for the easy one. That guy needs to be on a general fitness program, a strength program that just serves him well as far as total body, not too restrictive on curls and things where they guys like to lift and do curls, which might not be helpful for volleyball so much. So we're going to give him a general program, and you can work 2 to 3 days a week and be benefited by doing that and guide you into some fitness type of training, because you're not going to be doing any speed training. The kids, however, the younger they are, we want them to be globally strong. So they are almost on dad's program, except that we're going to limit certain lifts and highlight other lifts. So, for example, with a lot of the overhead people, overhead sports, tennis, baseball, I won't say softball because they are throwing a lot if they're not the pitcher. So we're going to just get their backs stronger. The scapular region with the rhomboids and the rotator cuff on the backside, we're going to develop those a lot more because they're going so much forward. We have to have some sort of stability in the back to, answer that forward motion. We try to divide it into thirds. So one third is legs. We don't put a lot of restriction on that because just be strong. That'll make you faster, more powerful, more useful in your sport. Upper body, we cap it according to the sport. So like the bench press, we got sports, we want you to be a big, strong bad guy. So we want that strength in the bench press. On the other hand, in the upper body, we're going to limit it with those overhead sports like I talked about, because too much bulk, we don't want to restrict them. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be restricted, but we don't want to. And then the third thing is just the supplementary things where you talk about core, rotator stuff, scapular stability, those kind of things. And then we get into all the conditioning and stuff later.
All right. So breaking it down by season too.
All right.
So if I'm, what are the questions that you're getting right now? It's kind of a transition.
It is
springtime. Mm-hmm. So people are kind of they're thinking about summer, but we're not there yet.
What are you getting right now? What happens on almost every season? It's the end of the season, like you said, and we won the championship. I'm excited. I want to start over and win another one. We got drilled this year. I'm excited. I want to start over and fix that, right the ship. So they are all coming from different areas with the same questions and motivation. What can I do to get better? So what we'll try to do is if they've been training, there is a short start over time. So reentry, we'll call it. And so we're going to get them back on a general program and get the weight soreness out of their system if they have to have that, because they might not have lifted at the end of the season like they were in the beginning or during the middle of the season. So we'll start with a reentry program, a couple of weeks of generic training. And then we'll start trying to, if you want to call it, specialize, so that football and other ballistic sports will get their bench press routine cycled upward. If they're in some of the other, let's call it volleyball, basketball type of programs, we'll get their jumping going because they're really excited about trying to improve their vertical. So we'll just start ramping it up and drip speed into it a little bit. Now, we're talking a lot about strength, but with athletes, always understand your speed and strength and conditioning have to be built into it, because you don't want to get too far away from the conditioning you had. Strength should make you faster, but you've got to run to see if that will carry over.
Okay, so we got the transition phase going. Now, what about the athletes that are, they have maybe a strength coach, they're coming to you for speed, or they're getting ready to start school's off-season program. Mm-hmm. Where's that, I like to call it the version control?
Yes, and that's, we figured that out a few years, or several years back, because we've been doing this a long time, and what we do is fill in the blanks, because what we discovered, and I'm going to be careful not to step on toes, some strength coaches, especially in the high school, middle schools, they're only able to do what they are fed. So if they go to the clinic, they bring the clinic notes back and they do that. If the so-and-so wins the national championship, that's the program they do. So there's gaps in the program, and there are things that I do that I'm very confident that programs in schools and even other gyms are not doing. So I get a good thumbnail to say, what are you doing in school? And I've got them right now. I have tennis and basketball and volleyball coming in right now. And so what are y'all doing in school? okay, well, here, we're going to do this. And it a lot of times, especially for me, it's a lot of speed work in terms of technical and just speed development and correcting things. And then on the weights, I will simply go around away from what I can usually predict their school is going to be doing. Squats and cleans and bench press, and I want to work that backside more because you just don't see it in the programs where they're working the lats. And for guys, your lats are the largest muscle in your upper body. That's where you put on weight, you're going to put it on.
I've been following a lot of different hashtags and things on Instagram just to kind of get an idea what people are doing,
right?
Because I don't know who to follow necessarily, but if you follow certain hashtags, you're able to see a collection of folks,
right?
There's some crazy stuff out there. I mean,
I see it every day. Where I'm at, I saw it this morning, and it doesn't matter what day we're talking. This morning, I saw it's like, what in the wide, wide world of sports is he doing?
Yeah, and I don't know who knows. How do you identify? Because you get someone that is really good at creating content. They're charismatic, and they're putting out stuff that might just. I just don't understand where it fits. Not to say that every coach likes to think that they got it figured out. You know,
right,
so I'm not
right.
trying to say we have. Totally, I definitely don't have anything to figure out. But you see some stuff, and you're kind of like, that's kind of a red flag. I don't know what that's supposed to do.
Yeah.
If you're an athlete, I mean, is it just one of those kind of like, we'll see how it goes?
I think I have kind of got my finger on it. I'm not going to swear answer, but I think I've got my finger on this. There is stuff going on out there that I'm realizing that. It catches on because there's a next generation of guys like me who have been around for 45 years, and they are seeing things for the first time. So it's like, wow, this is good stuff. Well, they don't have the history in the background to know that here's where all this came from. And so it's like, if you have whatever you're having for dinner, you might put salt and pepper on yours, and I might put paprika on mine, but it's the same thing, different flavor. Now, you might not like paprika, but, that kind of thing. But it still has to be very careful because what am I getting for this? And I've discovered this, and you're talking about a survey of one here, is that I've done as many of these new things as I can to see what's the benefit. And it's like, this bores me, or it's not dynamic enough, or there's things that I do that I just like better.
I'll give them credit because I'm not easily bored in the weight room. I just want results. Kind of I cook, I need the nutrients and like I love eating good food, but I'm not going to cook it. And so when it comes to working out, I just want to know that I'm doing what's going to work. So kudos to those trying new things because I guess some folks want to mix it up. I don't really care personally. I just want to know my numbers are going in the right direction. I guess we don't really have much more time. The last kind of thing I thought was unique is when you have, say, like one of the guys you have right now projected, we don't know if we need to name names, but guys that projected potential lottery picks in the NBA, and then some guys that might train for the NFL. It's like, okay, they're in the gym, and then there's other folks in the gym observing. What about them saying, I want to get on that program?
Well, go back to what we just talked about, because the player you're talking about that's we're getting ready for the draft in June, and he is out of town. And so he texts me, says, hey, can you send me a copy of the workouts? And so, I take a picture and fire it off to him. And the cool thing about it, it's caught on. It travels. It goes anywhere very well. And so some of the exotic stuff that you see going on requires, a kettlebell is not a specialized piece of equipment, but you need a kettlebell. I have lat pull in mind, so obviously you need a lat pull. But most facilities you go to, the programs I use are able to be executed, and the way we do our system of training, it's very dynamic. You know about our lift and move. We don't sit in one spot. You will not see us in one spot more than 15, 20 seconds top, and we're on the go. And so, I think people recognize that I'm working with, highly, gifted individuals. And so once in a while, I will get that, hey, what do you charge for a program like that? And we have it on a semi-personal and personal level. So we're able to disseminate and get the programs out if people want to do those.
Yeah, I think that's the funny thing is the whole train like a pro. So it's like you and him or her can do the exact same workout.
How many times have we seen that in ads and stuff?
Yeah,
train like the pros. No.
Some guys might be on that program. They don't even realize.
Right. Well,
bro, you're 5'9". I mean, he's 7 feet tall.
Yes, he is.
So, okay. Well, yeah, that's good. I think that – you know, we're already at 15 minutes, and so we have a lot of topics to go over as usual. So if you have any questions, message us. Follow him, Coach Bob King, on Twitter and Instagram. And you can actually get a little sneak peek inside the gym with the Instagram stories and everything. If you have any questions, hit him up on Twitter. You can hit me up at DeepSnap on Instagram and Twitter as well. And we will try to do what we can to get into these questions right here. I also, on the Anchor app, I have my other podcast where it's more, we're going to do an episode after this where it's just more sports talk, just kind of talk about whatever. Obviously, here at Modern Old School Training on this podcast, we just try to talk about what you can be doing from a performance standpoint. But if you have any questions, let us know. Until next time, I'm Aaron King, Coach Bob King. Thanks for listening.